Warren Buffett once said that the best investment you can make is an investment in yourself. This wisdom sits at the heart of Gautam Baid's The Joys of Compounding, a book that has become a quiet sensation among serious investors and lifelong learners alike. While most finance books gather dust on office shelves, this one has earned a permanent place on the nightstands of investors like Ray Dalio and Howard Marks. What makes it special? Unlike typical investment manuals that focus narrowly on stock picking, Baid's work expands the concept of compounding beyond money to encompass knowledge, relationships, health, and character. Drawing from his 20-year journey in value investing, Baid shows how the same principles that build financial wealth can transform every aspect of our lives. As Charlie Munger, Buffett's right-hand man, often says, "To get what you want, you have to deserve what you want." And deserving comes through the patient application of wisdom across decades. The most successful investors share one defining trait. They are voracious readers and lifelong learners. Warren Buffett famously spends 80% of his working day reading and thinking, describing his typical day as, "I just sit in my office and read all day." This isn't casual browsing, but deep, purposeful study. When asked about his secret to success, Buffett holds up stacks of documents and says, "Read 500 pages like this every day." That's how knowledge works. It builds up, like compound interest. This approach to learning creates an intellectual advantage that grows exponentially over time. When you read extensively, you can absorb decades of someone's life work in just hours. The most extraordinary aspect of reading is that it has no upper limit. Unlike physical activities that face natural constraints, mental growth through reading can continue indefinitely. But not all reading is equally valuable. We should filter information by asking, "Will I still care about this years from now?" Most financial headlines fail this test, having relevance measured in days rather than decades. Nassim Taleb advises minimal media exposure for decision makers, noting that media prioritizes attention over information. Instead, focus on enduring works. Books that have survived the test of time contain wisdom that will likely remain relevant for centuries more. Reading itself has progressive levels of engagement. Elementary reading provides basic comprehension. Inspectional reading quickly evaluates a book's merit. Analytical reading involves thorough study with active questioning and annotation. Finally, syntopical reading compares multiple books on the same subject, creating connections between seemingly unrelated fields. This last level creates what Baid calls a tapestry of psyche, where knowledge compounds. Something previously overlooked in an old book suddenly becomes valuable when illuminated by a new one. This explains the Matthew effect in knowledge acquisition, why someone like Warren Buffett extracts more insight from the same material than others. His larger knowledge base allows him to acquire expertise faster, creating a virtuous cycle where learning accelerates over time. The more you know, the more you can know. A beautiful example of compounding in action. While specialization drives career success in most fields, solving complex problems requires drawing from multiple disciplines. Charlie Munger advocates developing a latticework of mental models from various fields to make more rational decisions. As Marcel Proust noted, true discovery comes not from seeking new landscapes, but from looking with new eyes, exactly what multidisciplinary thinking provides. Mental models are the intellectual frameworks we use to make sense of the world. The most valuable ones come from fundamental, unchanging principles in fields like mathematics, physics, biology, psychology, and systems thinking. When we connect insights across disciplines rather than keeping knowledge in separate silos, we develop uncommon wisdom that compounds over time. Interestingly, when asked whether one should become a polymath or specialist, Munger surprisingly recommended specialization for most people, but with 10 to 20% of time devoted to understanding big ideas across disciplines. This balanced approach yields exponential results. Specialize in something society rewards while cultivating broader worldly wisdom. Peter Kaufman explains this through his three-bucket framework for gathering wisdom. we should draw principles from the largest relevant sample sizes, inorganic systems, 13.7 billion years of physics and chemistry, organic systems, 3.5 billion years of biology, and human history, 20,000 years of recorded behavior. The principles that emerge across all three domains have extraordinary explanatory power. Effective thinking requires solitude and concentration, something increasingly rare in our distracted world. As William Derisiewicz notes, "My first thought is never my best thought. It's only by concentrating, sticking to the question, being patient, that I arrive at an original idea." Munger credits his success to his long attention span and ability to block out distractions. First principles thinking involves boiling things down to fundamental truths and reasoning up from there. This approach removes complexity from decision-making by focusing on essential information rather than assumptions or conventions. Jeff Bezos applied this when starting Amazon, identifying unchanging customer desires, low prices, fast delivery, and wide selection as his guiding principles. Rather than trying to reinvent everything, Munger advocates mastering the best that other people have ever figured out, standing on the shoulders of giants to see further. According to Japanese philosophy, everyone has an ikigai, a reason for living where passion, mission, vocation, and profession intersect, infusing each day with meaning. The word combines ikiru, to live, and kai, the realization of what one hopes for, creating the concept of having purpose in life. Discovering your ikigai requires deep self-reflection to identify where your passions, mission, vocation, and profession overlap. This intersection represents your life's purpose. Work that you're good at, that you love doing, that the world needs, and that you can be paid for. When these elements align, you experience fulfillment and meaning that transcends mere career satisfaction. Like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, who both credit focus as their key success factor, achievement comes from relentlessly pursuing one specific passion. True focus means directing all your energy toward important goals while eliminating distractions. In investing, this means concentrating on businesses whose microeconomics will determine outcomes rather than chasing short-term gains. Mastery comes not just from practice, but from deliberate practice, the systematic, focused effort to improve performance. This involves pushing beyond comfort zones, receiving immediate feedback, and making continuous adjustments. Unlike casual practice, deliberate practice demands complete concentration and targets specific weaknesses with carefully designed activities that challenge existing abilities. Excellence doesn't come from practice alone, but from deliberate practice, a highly structured activity specifically designed to improve performance. It requires working at the boundary of your abilities, stretching for goals just out of reach, which pounds ideas in better. This approach embodies what Daniel Coyle calls a blue-collar mindset, showing up daily regardless of how you feel, understanding that inspiration is for amateurs. Finding our calling, pursuing it with passion and intense focus through deliberate practice results in ikigai. As Will Durant said, "We are what we repeatedly do." Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Our environment shapes us profoundly, and the people we surround ourselves with determine our trajectory in life. Choosing the right role models and mentors is therefore one of life's most consequential decisions. People striving for self-improvement usually have role models who motivate them to step outside their comfort zones. These exceptional guides teach us not just through words, but through their presence and example. We should seek role models who've achieved similar results to our goals, overcome struggles we face, or whose stories simply inspire us. Parents are our first and most important role models, providing unconditional love and support that shapes our character. Warren Buffett's story about Eddie Lampert illustrates a profound lesson: to be a winner, work with winners. Berkshire's success stems largely from partnering with exceptional managers like Ajit Jain and Tony Nicely, then delegating to the point of abdication. Surrounding yourself with smarter people provides firsthand experience of their thought processes, priorities, and values that textbooks can't teach. Though it may feel uncomfortable, joining a star team rather than being the star on an average team creates a gravitational pull toward higher qualities. Trust forms the foundation of all relationships and our entire economic system. As Jack Welch defined it, you know it when you feel it. We build trust through honest communication, authenticity, transparency, admitting mistakes, and being reliable in our dealings. Charlie Munger often cites reliability as essential for success. Anyone can learn it, and it can overcome many disadvantages. As Woody Allen noted, 80% of success is just showing up. Never overpromise and underdeliver. Instead, underpromise and overdeliver. Trust is earned when actions meet words, and being reliable and trustworthy is a choice that shapes our character. True wisdom begins with recognizing our own ignorance. As Einstein's equation suggests, ego equals 1 over knowledge. The more we know, the more humble we become. When we dive deeper into any field, we realize how little we actually understand, which places us in a better position to learn. There are no true experts, only varying degrees of ignorance. Like a tree that must extend its roots deep to touch the sky, we must remain grounded and humble to rise in life. We should question what we think we know, recognizing that every subject is more complex than we initially believe. Using tentative language like seems to me or so far as I know helps maintain this self-awareness. Humility allows us to learn from everyone we meet. As Emerson noted, every man I meet is my master in some point, and in that I learn of him. Our lives represent the sum of decision quality plus luck, but our personal experiences, which shape our beliefs, represent only a tiny fraction of what happens in the world. This limited perspective creates bias and overconfidence. As Voltaire noted, doubt is not a pleasant condition, but certainty is absurd. The best approach is to assume others are innocently out of touch rather than wrong, allowing us to explore multiple perspectives instead of filtering everything through our limited experiences. Success often becomes the biggest obstacle to sustained success. The more successful we become, the more convinced we are of our approach, making us less open to change in an ever-changing world. As Morgan Housel notes, there are countless ways to get rich, but only one way to stay rich: humility, often to the point of paranoia. This explains why the Forbes billionaire list has 60% turnover per decade. Warren Buffett's circle of competence concept emphasizes focusing only on businesses whose economics we truly understand. Buffett doesn't avoid risky investments. He avoids what's risky for him personally due to lack of understanding. The key isn't having a large circle of competence, but clearly knowing its boundaries. To expand it, read extensively. Annual reports, including footnotes, industry handbooks, and specialized books. The investor who turns over the most rocks wins the game by creating opportunities for serendipity through diligent research. The Bhagavad Gita teaches developing a trusteeship attitude toward wealth, giving your best to create it while surrendering the results for humanity's betterment after meeting your needs. Those fortunate enough to have surplus wealth face the responsibility of directing it meaningfully, typically to family and philanthropic organizations. This giving creates profound happiness and personal fulfillment by making a positive difference in others' lives. On Maslow's hierarchy, self-transcendence ranks even higher than self-actualization, representing the highest level of human consciousness where fulfillment comes from serving others' needs. Philanthropists experience joy seeing their wealth come to life again by enabling meaningful causes during their lifetime. As Warren Buffett demonstrates, supporting the right people is crucial in philanthropy as in business. You can have the greatest goals in the world, but if you have the wrong people running it, it isn't going to work. Selflessly helping others without expecting anything in return creates a positive feedback loop in life. Even when earning minimum wage, I began donating small amounts to charity, discovering that something happens to your heart when you share with others. As Mother Teresa said, love is doing small things with great love. My helpful attitude toward colleagues led them to provide positive references and share valuable industry insights later. When a senior investor warned me about a troubled company in my portfolio, allowing me to exit with profit, he explained, "You helped me then, I helped you now." Karma works like a snowball. Small good acts circle back as blessings. I end each day by asking, "Did I do at least one good act to help someone today?" and thanking the Almighty for all I've received. The ability to reduce something to its essence marks true understanding, yet we often dismiss simple advice from brilliant minds as too basic. Buffett's investment rules sound deceptively simple. Rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, never forget rule number one. He advised that understanding just three chapters from classic texts, chapters 8 and 20 of Graham's The Intelligent Investor, and chapter 12 of Keynes' The General Theory, provides the essential foundation for investing success. The key is taking simple ideas seriously and pursuing them with intensity. Occam's razor principle states that, among competing hypotheses, the one with fewest assumptions should be selected. In investing, we don't get extra points for difficulty. Buffett avoids complex problems altogether. The goal isn't originality or complexity, but compound in capital at the highest risk with minimum risk. Focus on making fewer, better decisions to avoid decision fatigue. Look for simple businesses requiring minimal assumptions and avoid those needing distant cash flow projections to justify investment. The path to simplification has three key steps. First, avoid wasting time on things that are unknowable, like future interest rates or unimportant. Second, focus intensely on fewer priorities. Buffett advises separating your top five goals from everything else, which becomes your avoid-at-all-cost list. As he says, the difference between successful people and very successful people is that very successful people say no to almost everything. Third, reason backward by eliminating incorrect options to narrow your problem space. Minimalism extends simplicity by eliminating the unnecessary. Few things truly matter in life, so we must carefully determine what's important and commit our time accordingly. The goal isn't having the fewest possessions, but the optimal number. Practicing minimalism brings peace by freeing up time for meaningful activities, family, friends, health, and learning. From traveling with less luggage to holding fewer stocks, minimalism reduces stress and brings clarity, focus, and efficiency. Financial independence gives us control over our time and protects us from compromising our integrity when our livelihood depends on not seeing certain truths. As Upton Sinclair noted, it is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on his not understanding it. Similarly, Munger warns, "Whose bread I eat, his song I sing." Truth is hard to assimilate when opposed by interest. Financial independence enables us to see reality unbiased, think long-term, and control our time. The path requires underspending your income and investing the difference. Simple, but not easy. Building wealth depends more on savings discipline than income level. By living frugally, avoiding debt, and investing wisely, we gain the freedom that money represents, not for conspicuous consumption, but for personal liberty and meaningful pursuits. Making the first $1 million is often considered hardest because you don't know if you can do it or how. Once achieved, you've proven it's possible and understand the method. The journey begins with saving that first dollar. The truly difficult part is starting. During my wealth accumulation phase, I worked relentlessly, saving every dime while ferociously investing in self-education. After reaching critical mass, compound interest worked its magic. Even after achieving financial freedom, I continue working because I love what I do, not because I need to. Great wealth often inflicts a curse on its owners through the hedonic treadmill, which continually moves the goalpost to financial dreams, extinguishing joy as expectations rise with income. Research shows that once basic needs are met, incremental wealth contributes nothing to happiness because wealth is always relative, not absolute. As Richard Easterlin discovered, material progress doesn't increase life satisfaction. Most people would rather make $34,000 where the average is $30,000 than $36,000 where others make $40,000. We quickly adapt to our circumstances through hedonic adaptation, causing happiness to be fleeting as we constantly raise our expectations from X to 2X to 10X. As P.T. Barnum noted, many remain poor or become poor after acquiring sufficient wealth because they establish too expensive a lifestyle, especially during sudden prosperity. The solution is actively seeking contentment with what you have while still saving and working hard, loving people and using things, not the reverse.
There are two kinds of people in life. Those who care what others think of them, and those who care how good they really are. Warren Buffett exemplifies the latter, remaining true to himself despite criticism. During the 1999 internet bubble, when Barron's questioned his approach with "Warren, what's wrong?" headlines, Buffett's inner scorecard kept him from wavering while many value investors capitulated. A true contrarian reasons independently from factual data rather than simply taking the opposite position. Self-respect must trump social approval, letting internal principles guide you rather than external validation. In 1956, 25-year-old Warren Buffett formed Buffett Partnership, Ltd. with $105,100 from seven limited partners, charging no management fee while taking 25% of gains beyond 6%, and personally absorbing losses. By 1969, $100,000 invested in 1957 would have grown to $1,719,481 versus just $252,467 in the Dow. Despite this extraordinary 24.5% annual return, net of fees, Buffett shocked everyone by closing the partnership in 1969. Why? Because of his integrity and authenticity. He had warned partners since 1967 that statistical bargains were disappearing and refused to abandon a previous approach whose logic I understand to embrace an approach which I don't fully understand. Rather than gambling with clients' money to go out a hero, he recommended tax-free municipal bonds or investing with his Columbia classmate Bill Ruane, chosen for his integrity, ability, and continued availability. Throughout, Buffett embodied Peter Kaufman's five aces of money management, viewing himself primarily as a risk manager who accepts only properly evaluated risks within his circle of competence. Delayed gratification, sacrificing immediate pleasure for greater future rewards, is a cornerstone of success. The most successful businesses and investors understand that foregoing near-term earnings to build long-term value creates more durable economic franchises. Many management teams pass on value-creating investments because they would make accounting numbers look bad in the short term. Companies with true capacity to suffer, willingness to accept depressed short-term earnings to build competitive advantages, create exceptional long-term value. Amazon exemplifies this philosophy, keeping prices extremely low to build customer trust and maximize long-term free cash flow. Contrast this with predatory companies like Valeant Pharmaceuticals that extract rather than add value. Buffett demonstrates this principle with Geico, happily spending hundreds of millions on customer acquisition that delivers no immediate profits but creates substantial lifetime value. As Buffett says, we simply measure whether we are creating more than a dollar of value per dollar spent, and if that calculation is favorable, the more dollars we spend, the happier I am. The rarest and most valuable quality for an investor is patience. Benjamin Graham noted, you must look at things in the aspect of eternity, while Thomas Phelps observed that among vision, courage, and patience needed to make money in stocks, patience is the rarest of the three. This patience provides a durable edge precisely because human nature makes it so difficult to utilize. As Bezos explained, if you're willing to invest on a 7-year time horizon, you're competing against a fraction of people. This advantage has only grown stronger. 50 years ago, the average NYSE holding period was 7 years. Today, it's barely 4 months. The short-term mindset creates irrational trading based on quarterly results rather than long-term business value. Most fund managers face intense pressure to perform quarterly, leading to excessive portfolio churning and underperformance. Neuroscience shows our brains process value inconsistently across time periods. We demand immediate rewards and discount distant ones. This hyperbolic discounting leads investors to heavily discount the future cash flows of high-quality businesses, applying excessive risk premiums that result in undervaluation. Professor Sanjay Bakshi demonstrated this anomaly in his 2013 white paper, noting that any stock that has compounded at 15-20% for decades was, by definition, undervalued by the market for long periods. As Buffett states, investing is foregoing consumption now in order to have the ability to consume more at a later date. The path to lasting wealth requires deferred gratification, consistent saving, and compound interest. Reducing desires has the same effect as increasing wealth, but without risk. As Epictetus said, wealth consists not in having great possessions, but in having few wants. Life, like a snowball, requires finding wet snow and a really long hill to maximize compounding. Buffett's wisdom about taking care of one's mind and body decisions, made today determine how they'll function decades later, illustrates true long-term thinking. Success isn't just financial, social and intellectual capital also compound. Investing in yourself, relationships, and understanding pays enormous dividends. The journey to becoming happier, healthier, wealthier, and more honorable is powered by compounding in all areas of life. Positive thoughts generate the consistent energy needed for long-term goals. We are products of our thoughts, not circumstances. By disciplining the mind and shifting consciousness in the right direction, we create remarkable changes in our lives. Reading something inspirational before sleep helps process constructive information during rest. Self-awareness allows experiencing life twice, with detachment and with normal reactions. Success lies on the same road as failure, just a little further down. The real health concern isn't early death, but chronic disease that can cause decades of suffering. Sitting has become the new smoking. Physical inactivity leads to lifestyle diseases. The goal isn't living longer, but living better in your later years. Take care of your body as if it needs to serve you for a century. What you do when young catches up when old. The costs of good habits are present, while bad habits' costs emerge later. The compound effect applies beyond money to intellectual and physical aptitudes. 10 years of continuous effort can yield more in 1 week than someone with 6 months of practice achieves in a year. While goals require constant willpower, which depletes like a muscle, habits operate automatically once formed. By focusing on positive, long-term habits rather than specific goals, continuous improvement becomes a lifestyle. Good investing isn't about earning the highest returns, but achieving consistent returns you can maintain long-term. That's when compounding truly works. Buffett started at age 11 and emphasizes the importance of a very long hill and sticky snow for building your wealth snowball. The human mind struggles to grasp exponential growth, which explains why many underestimate compounding's power. By the rule of 72, capital doubles every 3 years at 26% returns, 10 times in 10 years and 100 times in 20 years. Value investors often embrace frugality after realizing compounding's power. The opportunity cost of delayed saving is enormous. Someone who starts saving $5,000 annually at 18 and earns 10% will have $7 million by age 70. While waiting until 30 yields only $2.2 million, a $4.8 million difference from just $60,000 less invested. Munger considers continuous learning a moral duty, believing we must increase rationality and improve ourselves regardless of age or experience. Buffett demonstrated this zeal by reading everything from American Banker to industry publications, carrying prospectuses everywhere, and owning 100 shares of countless companies just to receive their reports. In his early career, he meticulously reviewed 20,000 pages of Moody's manuals twice, examining every business. In their 2015 Stanford talk, Monish Pabrai and Guy Spier explored the concept of giving without expectation, being a giver rather than a taker. Goodwill, like financial investments, compounds exponentially over time. Though initially invisible, the goodwill account eventually snowballs and grows at an accelerating pace. Warren Buffett's goodwill account has reached its peak and continues to grow rapidly, with momentum that will extend well beyond his lifetime. As Buffett himself states, "When you get to my age, you'll really measure your success in life by how many of the people you want to have love you actually do love you. The more you give love away, the more you get. Giving makes us richer than getting." The key insights are to think long term, work hard consistently without immediate results, enjoy the process, live by your inner scorecard, and focus on self-improvement rather than comparison. This is the true essence of compounding, not just money, but wisdom, health, relationships, and character, all growing exponentially through the disciplined application of timeless principles.